This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, everybody, Trey Wingo here, and the Michael K. Show with Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg starts right now. Question, will this be a day without a Don rant?
We shall see, but it is a day with a Don list, that's for sure, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Monday, February 7th, 2022. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, or Parper, we're together for the next 4 hours, the other 20. That is your responsibility. Rainy, gloomy day, but we'll brighten up your day. That's what we do. Don, big time list today? Daily Don?
Yes, wow. By request. I won't say who made the request.
I did. I made the request.
Appreciate your honesty there.
You know, everything is, you know, for debate here.
It's like, grab my phone, bang, I'm immediately put to work. And I did it.
Okay. Now, if you're going to play like that.
What?
Here's what I said. I think we could use a list today if you have one in that handsome head of yours. That was it. That was my text, Peter.
I went to work.
Yeah, but you acted like it was a demand.
I look at it as a demand, but I don't frown down on that demand. It was a challenge. I was ready for it. I was up for it. I was excited about it.
All right.
Sometimes I wonder if my list is just a big bother in the way.
Sometimes
so when
it
I
is.
Know that the big fella, the guy that's in command, the guy whose name's on the show, requests it, and I know he's all in, and I made sure it was something that was right in his wheelhouse, went and did the work, this is going to be fun.
I'm excited about it. I really am. When should we do this? 3:30? No, not 3:30.
3:45? Is it too early?
Yeah, but we don't want to cut short. 3:45 is good. 3:45 is good because we have Steve Young at 4:30.
Right.
We have Ryan Clark at 5:30. Mm-hmm. Steve can go long. We like him to go long. So we don't want to like pigeonhole it up against a break because we're very, very studious about keeping to the commercial break. So let's do it at 3:45.
Love it.
All right, good. We're not starting with this, but out of the mouths of babes, this certainly falls under that. I had to sit and watch the entire Pro Bowl
on TV. Yes.
Because Charlie was looking forward to it all week, wanted to see Kyler Murray, who he likes, and we sat there. And it was so bad that at one point, Don and Peter, he turns to me. I mean, what a great line. And he said, why are they even wearing helmets?
See?
They didn't have to wear helmets, right? They didn't tackle. It was two-hand touch. It was so far from a real football game. And we don't have the ratings just yet. But I bet you they got a great number because it's football. That's why they got numbers when they had replacement players because it's the game the people are in love with more than the players. But that wasn't even the game. That was so embarrassing for the NFL. So put that on as representative of, quote, unquote, an all-star game. Football does not lend itself to an all-star game. I'm sorry. There's too many ways you could get hurt. There's no way anybody's going to play all out in a game. That means nothing. Nothing. It was a joke. The NFL should be embarrassed by that.
Yeah, they
and the
come
skills
up
competition
something.
On Saturday, that was fun. Or for a Thursday, that was actually fun.
You know, I'm mad I missed the skills competition because like, I actually have really come to enjoy the skills competition, and I never know when it's on. It's just very strange. The actual Pro Bowl where they fill the stadium, who would want to go to the experience like of parking and hanging out all day to watch a fake game? I didn't watch 1 second. When I watched the highlights, Don, I legit didn't know if it was two-hand touch or tackle.
Yeah, it seemed like flag football, right, Don?
No, that's exactly what it seemed like. And listen, we grew up with it, and it was always you weren't allowed to blitz, and they weren't taking anybody's heads off. But when I watched it when I was growing up, it was a football game. And you kind of understood it was an all-star game, so nobody was going to get folded in half and all that, but not to this extent. Like, why even bother?
Deion Sanders actually put out a tweet and said, you know, it was like one of those back in my day sort of tweets. He said there was some prime. There was some pride involved. He said, I want people to see prime in his prime. Well, nobody showed that kind of talent.
Well,
it just was ridiculous.
Listen, the NHL had the same issue because nobody wants to check. You take the physicality out of a sport that's 50% physical, then you're going to get, you know, a facsimile or just pretend. So what they did was they came up with the three-on-three tournament so that you won $1 million and there was some pride on the line. And you at least see when the Metropolitan Division played the Central Division that there was a little spice to it. It still wasn't the same, but at least there was somebody wanted to win. So can they put something on this? But again, you do that, and God forbid somebody suffers a concussion or blows out their knee, then everybody's going to say, what are we doing this for? This football is the one where they just got to say, forget, let's not bother.
But
nobody
we'll
cares.
See
the, it's the
we'll
week before the Super Bowl.
But
we're football fans. We forgot to turn it on, except for you.
We'll see the rating, though, Don, and the rating is going to be significant. It's going to, like, beat out the American League Championship Series. You watch.
Oh,
that's why they do it.
But it's got to be relative to what you do, right? So, all right, so let's say it does a number that's better than a lot of other things. Is it close to what they usually do?
But I don't know that there's anything you could do that would be close, because it's the number is going to be way higher than the skills competition.
I don't know. I'd like to see all the numbers. Again, Peter and I are diehard football fans, and I didn't even bother. Maybe if Marco was older and pestered me, we would have turned it on. I didn't even bother to turn it on, even think about it. So there's something wrong that when diehard fans of your sport absentmindedly forget that it's even being played.
Every year, Don, I have a tradition unlike any other. I forget that the Pro Bowl's on.
I've always said this. The one sport that I think closest translates into a real game is baseball.
Watching?
Because there's not a physicality aspect where somebody could get hurt. Now, obviously, you take something away because the pitchers only go one inning at a time. But it's baseball. It's a baseball game you're seeing.
Yep.
That wasn't football what you watched.
Well, the pitcher doesn't want to get embarrassed, and the hitter doesn't want to get embarrassed. So there's going to be a try. The pitcher is going to try to get the hitter out. The hitter is going to try to get a hit. That's all you need. You just need guys to go out there and try. Make some sort of an effort. And there's no effort being made in the Pro Bowl. So why would you bother?
And in basketball, it's a joke. There's no defense. Hockey, there's no – I don't know why basketball can't have a real game. Now, toward the last 5 minutes of the NBA All-Star game, I think it approximates a real game because then there's pride on the line. But for the most part, it's a dunking contest. So,
right, you get one quarter. You get one quarter of the NBA All-Star game. You get none of football. Hockey is fun, but it's not a real game. Baseball's really it. You get an entire game.
Yeah,
potentially.
It's the closest thing. The
I'm telling you, baseball.
Closest thing.
And again, I'm going to go back to my theory. All the more reason baseball has the opportunity to make their All-Star week a bigger thing if it was a weekend. Because everything they have is good now. The Home Run Derby is hotter than it's ever been. You would agree, right?
Yep.
It's the Home Run Derby is the biggest it's ever been. And in my mind now is almost as fun as the dunk contest. Like, it's really a good time. And they actually can boast a competitive All-Star game. I just think there's so much more they can do with that week.
Yeah, I really do
agree with
you.
At least their concerns now.
I do agree with you, but unfortunately, nobody in baseball wants to give up a weekend of attendance. That's what it comes down to.
But by the way, that's also symptomatic of why we're here and they're not playing. Because the level of greed and short-sightedness, like that, this giving up, a little bit of money for the big picture of expanding the popularity of your game, couldn't that possibly be a worthwhile trade?
It could be. You're right. It's something that they should discuss, but I don't think it's close to being done. Are the Knicks done? That's
Seems
our jumping off point today. That's about as well as they could play the way they played against the Lakers. And they lost. They were up by, I believe, 15 points at the half. They were up even more in the second quarter. Then they go into the half up 15. And then the Lakers came alive and had a great third quarter. Knicks did come back, but I've said this before, and I don't want to sound like a broken record. Where are the wins coming? Take a look at their schedule. Where are the wins coming? Now, you can grab a win in any game. Team's flat. I mean, they could have grabbed a win against the Lakers. They could have. They didn't. That might have been the one that they look at and go, well, there was our win. They are in danger of not even coming close to finishing into the play-in tournament. Because, again, I'll say it over and over again. Tell me where the wins are coming, the way they're playing. And then the incredible spiral of what is Julius Randle, who actually played a really good game on Saturday, not as well as R.J. Barrett, but he played a really good game. But then you get the instance where he and the computer guy get into a tiff that they had to be separated by another coach. What has happened to Julius Randle, guys? What's happened to him?
Well, the question is what happened to him last year? Because I think that's the aberration, right? Remember, this was not some rookie. He had been in the league for a while. Then it all kind of came together for him last year. And he's still a better player, I think, this year than he was before last year. So he's certainly still improved. But isn't it clear that last year, 72 games, playing in front of nobody, zero expectations, was not an honest assessment of the player that he was? So isn't the question what happened last year, not this year?
Well, but you're explaining what happened last year, and you would think that with the security of a long-term contract now that, you know, he could play better than this, but wow. And what, here's the deal. Okay, so he's not playing as well as he did last year. Why so angry? Who are you ticked off at? Ticked off at the media, the fans, the computer guy? Well, because of the fact that you're not playing the way you played out of your gourd last year, that you putting it on other people? You know, all these trades that you hear about, you know, the Knicks might do this, the Knicks might do that. You know, to me, you got to look at addition by subtraction. Just getting rid of Julius Randle. I don't think Julius Randle is the guy for New York. He seems like he's bothered by the crowd. He's bothered by the media. He had an exchange with Mark Berman. It wasn't nasty, but you could see he was trying to make a point. Well, where are you getting who reported that? And Mark didn't answer the right way. So, well, who's it's just a rumor then. But everybody's saying it. The Knicks, I mean, the Knicks will probably want to get out of this contract. It's not an onerous contract that's untradeable, but Julius Randle cannot be your top guy. I said that last year, and people laughed at me. People get angry on the show, and I go, how could he be your number one guy? Now I think he's dropped down to, at best, he's your number three. R.J. Barrett's moved ahead of him. Since January 1st, R.J. Barrett's been a much better player than Julius Randle.
I feel bad about this story. I don't enjoy it. Like, all of it. I mean, number one, that he's playing, that his play is down from where it was last year, obviously, in a big way. And sort of the change of heart with the fans, he just really is. He's done so many. He's made so many mistakes. Like, by the way, none of this had to be this painful. He put such a glaring spotlight on himself. And how much is this a conversation if we never have the middle finger to the fans? Are people still saying we need to be rid of him?
Well, I think it's a good point by you. I think it's a compilation of all the things where he doesn't show up at the games, got fined $25,000 by the league, which the Knicks paid. He just seems like he's miserable. His body language on the court seems like he's miserable. His constant technical fouls, the running that he had with the computer guy, which the Knicks said, well, that's normal. That happens all the time. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. At least not in view of cameras on ABC, which is being showing the game nationally. So here's another problem that I think that has surfaced as well. You know, last year, Tom Thibodeau was the toast of the town. To get that team to win 42 games was amazing. To get them as a fourth seed was amazing. Now, there are stories over the weekend, he didn't want Cam Reddish. They did it. You can never convince me that he okayed getting Kemba Walker. You can't convince me of that. And they got him anyway. And you cannot convince me that he wanted you to let Reggie Bullock go. Can't convince me of that either. So, do you think they're setting him up to be the fall guy here? The guy who was the guy who's considered an outstanding coach, but obviously he's not the perfect coach. He doesn't want to play young guys. Here's the deal with Thibs. This is going to end up deciding whether or not he stays long-term with the Knicks. The Knicks are out of it right now. And even if they somehow squeak into the play-in, which I don't think they will, they'll get eliminated immediately. They're not a good team. Mark Jackson said it on national television. The Knicks are not a good team. So at that point, Thibodeau has to stop this nonsense where he doesn't play kids. You got to play kids. Let's see what Obi Toppin does. Let's give the kids more run. Let's get Cam Reddish in there. You can't continue to throw out the veterans when this is not a team that's going anywhere.
Michael, I'll take it a step further. No, I was thinking the same thing in our pre-show meeting. I not only agree with you, I think the refusal to play the kids will be the end of his time here.
Yeah, I think so.
That will be what they say, we can't use this guy then. If he believes that it's his way to the point that I believe I can make this work when it's clearly not working and you don't want to help us build our team for next year to see what we have, well, now you're hurting us. Now you're not helping the organization. So, Don, I think this is like his time in New York depends on him finding a way to start playing kids.
And you explained to me why you wouldn't. I mean, right now you're a full game out of the play-in with a team between you, Washington's between you, and the 10 seed. You've got four games left on this Western trip. Where's the win coming? Portland? They winning tonight in Utah? Are they going to win in Denver? Are they going to win in Golden State? And then it closes in Portland. So now you could be looking at being two or three games out of the play-in, like eight, nine games under 500 with 25 games left to play. Why would you play any of the veterans at that point? Would you want to use the final 25 games to see what you have?
Because he's not a guy, and we use this phrase a lot, who's going to buy green bananas. He's a 64-year-old coach. He doesn't want to be part of a rebuild.
Well, that's why I think he's going to be looked upon, Michael, as the blame's going to be pinned on him. He's going to be the fall guy for this. Because is he the long-term answer? Like, he was the perfect guy when it looked like this was a team that was going to go to the playoffs and try to make a run. But if it's going to be a rebuild, then they're going to have to bring somebody else in. So is he being groomed to where that'll be the – if they can't pull off a deal here before the deadline, is that going to be your move? All right, let's just move on. Let's get in another coach here and let's start over.
Well, I hope they don't do it to him. I think he's earned, you know, at least another year. But I agree with you guys. He's got to expand the rotation or sit people down. Because as much as we love Derrick Rose, what's the purpose of playing Rose a lot when he's able to play? Well, what's the purpose? You've got to find out. It's like the baseball team, when they're out of it, they start playing kids. They sit the veterans down. Veterans still have a job next year, but at least you get to know exactly what you can move forward with. And the guys are killing me in the pre-show meeting. Because we were talking about, well, you know, who would they hire if they ever got rid of Thibs? And I said, Showalter. And they all laughed because I always said Showalter should be the guy. Showalter should be there. And the Mets, you know, ended up doing it. And they said, well, who's the Showalter in basketball? He's sitting on ABC. Jeff Van Gundy is the Showalter. But that's another problem, too. Yeah. He and Thibodeau are very, very close. I mean, would Van Gundy want to get into this mess right now? It doesn't like Leon Rose done a good job as the president of the Knicks.
But MSG is still going to see value in getting into the play-in. So, unless they're mathematically eliminated, the organization probably wants that play-in because it's still technically the playoffs, and I guess you never know. So how far out would they have to be before they would finally sit the kids? I said they'd be 2-3 out with 25 to go. That probably won't be enough.
No, it won't.
So you're going to have to be like 6 or 7 out with 20 or 15 to go. Then they would probably pull the plug. But I still think they see a value in even being the 10 seed because at least it'll be back-to-back playoffs. They could sell that.
I mean, sell to who?
But that's a Pyrrhic victory, Peter, Don. It really is. It's a Pyrrhic
victory.
I'm with you,
but you read the Chris Herring book, guys. You saw the importance of playoff games. Even if it's a pipe dream that they're going to get out of the play-in, you're talking like $2, $3 million a home playoff game. I mean, that they're not throwing that away unless they know there's no shot. And unfortunately, because of 10 teams out of 15 in a conference technically making the playoffs, you know how bad you have to be to mathematically be eliminated? So I think they're going to try to go for it. As silly as it is, Peter, selling us, I think the fans are smart enough to know that doesn't mean anything.
Agreed.
But they'll still see value in it.
I don't know. I mean, there's more value in playing the kids. I know what Peter's saying. I mean, value to who? I mean, long-term value of this team, it's better to see what Obi Toppin is. They are giving Grimes some run right now, but it's better to see what Cam Reddish can do. These guys have to play. And I don't think Obi Toppin is the answer. He's not better than Julius Randle, but what is he? What is he? Can you make him play defense better? Those are the things you have to do. Kemba Walker, nobody liked it because he's a good guy. Shouldn't be playing now. I'm sorry, he shouldn't be playing. So the move there is you either trade him by the 10th or you bench him. And then you make Burks be the point guard, and then that opens up a spot for Reddish. Why is Kemba Walker playing? He doesn't do anything that Tom Thibodeau wants him to do. And he's not even the main option. In the past, he used to be the first or second option on the team. He's not scoring any points in games. What are we doing here? It's terrible that, you know, his return home is going to be so marred that he won't play. But that might be the answer.
They're probably motivated by the 10 games he missed earlier when he sat down. They were like 1-9.
And then when he came back and was really hot, it looked great. And it made Thibodeau look bad.
Also, we got to take a minute to really appreciate how much Saturday stung on account of blowing a lead like that. And then getting to the point where by the end of the game, guys, you're just Yes, they ended up stretching and getting to overtime with some great late heroics from R.J. Barrett, which is a cool moment.
Yeah. And Lakers missing foul shots.
And the Lakers not making their foul shots. But the fact that they were in that situation, guys, it's pathetic.
Lakers aren't very good either, by the way.
No.
But they've got two transcendent players.
Well, so they're good enough to put themselves in position to see if they can turn it on.
Very quick bit of news on the Nets. Steve Nash had said they're not trading Harden. And according to Woj and Ramona Shelburne, the Nets have rebuffed any inquiries from the Philadelphia 76ers. Mm. Now, Bobby Marks, who knows the contract situation better than anybody in the world, he can't imagine a Harden for Simmons swap. Here's Bobby.
I don't see James Harden being available right now. I don't see James Harden being available right now. I think certainly if Philadelphia called Brooklyn about Ben Simmons, I think Brooklyn would certainly listen, but I don't see the Nets picking up the phone and all of a sudden putting Harden available in a Simmons-type deal. Maybe that's something for the offseason.
But is it really for the offseason? I mean, you could still trade him even if he elects not to have his option picked up. You could still trade him in a sign and trade. But are you going to get Ben Simmons? Are you going to get somebody better? Is he going to want to go there? I will tell you the one thing about Harden. I can't tell if a guy's hamstring is really injured or not. I can't. And I never question injuries because I think it's wrong. But when you read all the things that I read and they're saying he doesn't look like he wants to be there, he doesn't have the same engagement, he's using the same playbook he used to get out of Houston without the belly. So it doesn't reflect well on James Harden if this is his act to get out of another place. Just play hard, man. Paying you a lot of money. Paying you $40 million. Go play hard. And if you're the Nets and you want to stand pat and you don't want to do anything, it makes sense. You know why? Because when everybody's healthy, you've got Durant, Irving, and Harden. And I'd like them against anybody that they play. They have a chance to beat anybody that they play. But if you're going to lose Harden at the end of the year, if you're going to lose Irving at the end of the year, these are hard decisions that have to be made.
Well,
awful.
I guess there's still hope, Michael. You're seeing some of the mandates being relaxed here over the next month. So maybe
Kyrie was hinting at that, too, over the weekend.
Right. So maybe it's not impossible to think that before the playoffs, that mandate of him not being able to play home games will be lifted. And then you get Durant back. And then you'll see Harden obviously play a lot differently when he realizes he can't get traded and he still has a shot to do something here. Even though they dipped into the play-in, they're still just a game in the lost column back at Toronto. You know, they can once they get everybody back, listen, they've lost 8 in a row and it's shocking to think they have. But they can get this back. They can salvage this. And that will engage Harden again.
All right, it's game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. We have the Knicks against the Jazz. That's 9 p.m. And our pregame show right here on 98.7 will start at 8:30. The tip is at 9. The Knicks will try to score an upset. Utah is a very good team. That's game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. We'll qualify another Super Box Bonanza contestant. So that's kind of cool. You have an opportunity to win up to $5,000. So everybody sit back, towel off. It's going to be a really good show. Steve Young,
yeah.
Ryan Clark, a lot of things to talk about. We are now in Super Bowl week.
Oh, sure.
Isn't it nice, Don, not being there and having to put on people, you know, selling Depends undergarments?
I don't think we ever had Depends, but
We had some strange things.
Assortment of things. Some of it we got to take home.
Yeah.
The Depends was probably something that they would have given us to take home.
That would have been nice. But it is nice to not have to have like one conversation after another about random things that don't pertain to what's going on and then plugging someone's product.
Hi, yes. Who am I speaking to,
and
please?
And frankly, a couple of the best interviews that we would have gotten all week at Super Bowl week, we're doing anyway.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Not bad.
The Texans, according to ESPN, sources are saying the Texans are expected to hire Lovie Smith as their coach. So they got rid of David Culley, the head coach, and they hired his defensive coordinator.
Hmm.
So it had come down to Flores and Josh McCown. Now it looks like it's going to be Lovie Smith.
I wonder if they just felt pressure in terms of not being able to hire McCown. It would have looked so bad.
I think they had to. Peter, I think it's a great point. I think they had to.
They couldn't. They wanted McCown, it seemed, but everyone, even in football circles, people were like, Josh McCown.
I think sometime either Saturday or yesterday afternoon where it really looked like they were on the verge of announcing McCown, and then it just spun 180. So they must have gotten such a backlash.
And according to sources, Rich Bisaccia, who did a pretty good job taking over for Gruden, getting the Raiders into the postseason, he's going to be hired by the Green Bay Packers to fix their special teams. And, boy, they need fixing. They need fixing.
And Brandon Brown is the new assistant general manager of the New York Giants.
Stole him right from the Eagles, Andrew. Right from the Eagles, my friend. And I love it.
You'll ruin everything.
And a nice job by the kids at North Carolina cursing Mike Krzyzewski in his last trip to the Dean Dome. Very classy. Stay classy, North Carolina. That was awful.
I
actually sat there and watched the beginning of the game because I said, wow, they're going to give him a big ovation.
Yeah, no.
They booed him, and they said, bleep, Coach K.
I respect it. It's what you're supposed to do. This isn't the pros. You don't need to have class. These are kids. They hate him. They're going to hate him forever.
You always need to have class.
No, not at college games.
Well, you'd like to go to class. That'd be nice if that happened on occasion. But the one thing you can't call them are frauds.
Nope.
They're not phonies.
Nope.
I would like to check, because nobody is nastier than the Duke maniacs, right? And Cameron crazies. Did they boo Dean Smith in his last time there? I don't know.
They're different. The Duke kids are such nerds that they might not have. You're right.
You know what? You're showing your allegiance. Well, your lack of allegiance.
This might surprise you, Michael. I'm kind of leaning towards Peter. I know what you're saying. Class does not leap to mind to describe it. But the lack of fraudulence to me.
It's kind of impressive.
It's impressive.
But, okay, the first time he comes out, you give him a little ovation, and then you ride him the rest of the game.
But I know, but that's still phony then.
It's not phony.
You don't like
him.
You don't like him. So well, now you got to
like
pretend to give golf applause because that's the right thing to do and then go back to killing him later on in the game. Hey, listen, you don't like him, you don't like him, whether it's his first game or his last game. Care if he's coached 1,000 games. You don't like him, you don't like him.
Then don't curse him, though. I'm sorry.
Well, I hear what you're saying
the
there,
guy's
Michael.
Had a pretty nice career, you know?
I understand he's had a nice career, but you don't like him. So now you got to pretend to like him to show class?
Yeah, like, listen, he gets celebrated everywhere. He doesn't have to get celebrated there.
That would
have
been great, though, if he turned around as they were blowing the Tar Heels out of the building and said, how you like me now?
That would have been very funny. I respect that, too.
Yeah. Because that's not being a phone either, because that's probably what he wanted to do. He probably wanted to flip them to Julius Randle. That's what he wanted to do. Or the Francisco Lindor. But he wouldn't do that because he's Coach K, Coach Mike K. I started Ian's book, by the way.
Oh,
Ian
you
O'Connor.
Did.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. You got to see the book. You got to see the book and the picture of Ian. It looked like he just got out of a colonoscopy. Not even a smile.
Really?
Oh, it's unbelievable. I might hold it up to the camera later. He's a handsome man. Had a miserable look on his face. I'm going to tell him about that, too. Maybe he's watching.
You got to come up with a different analogy. You get such a good sleep from a colonoscopy. Nothing but a good move.
You know what? When you're right, you're right. Looks like he's about to go into a colonoscopy.
Right.
Okay. That's bad.
Afterward, you're very happy, especially when they say, we found nothing. All right. Let's take a brief timeout. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody, it's me. I'm back. And guess what? It's another Don segment.
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don.
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists.
Take it away, Donnie.
Well, it's Super Bowl week, so why not have a Super Bowl-themed top five, guys?
Bring it to me.
Are you ready?
Give it to me.
Top five worst quarterbacks ever to play in a Super Bowl.
We've never done this?
No.
Wow.
Can I go first, Peter?
We batted it around like a bunny. Never actually did it.
I hate to say it because he used to be a friend of the show. How about Trent Dilfer?
Trent Dilfer. Thought about it. And you know what? I have him at number 3.
There you go.
Trent Dilfer, Baltimore Ravens, won the Super Bowl, by the way. Career quarterback completion percentage of 55.5. His touchdowns interception minus 16. He had a QBR of 70.2, but yet was good enough to win Super Bowl 35. I have Trent Dilfer at 3.
This is to win, Don?
No, just to
be
play.
In the Super Bowl.
But I will tell you, the other four all lost.
The other four all lost?
Yes.
Okay.
Thought about Brad Johnson, not a great quarterback, but I think better than the guys that we have here.
I was going to. I'm glad about, you took him out of the equation. I was going to use him.
Yeah, no, he's a common one too. This may sound crazy. How about the guy Trent Dilfer played against, Kerry Collins?
No, no. Who are you taking out?
I don't know.
Well, we'll see.
He wasn't good.
Kerry Collins was pretty good. Better than the other four that I have here. You know, took Carolina to a championship game in '96.
Sure, sure.
So Kerry Collins is not there.
No.
No, he's not.
That's a little problematic.
Wait,
I'm just saying those were two of my guesses, and now I'm kind of up against it.
Okay, how about Tony Eason?
Tony Eason only played four snaps in that Super Bowl.
Really?
But I did think about the guy that played the majority of the snaps, but he didn't make it. I thought about Steve Grogan.
Oh, the Grog.
But Grogan played a long time, actually 1 year, led the league in touchdown passes. Mm. Not great, but better than the other four that I have.
Oh, boy. How about, I got one. I'm sure this could be one or two. You ready?
Yes.
This is going to be gross, man. Rex Grossman.
Thought about it.
What?
But listen, you got to go with the other guys. Rex Grossman, very close, though. Very close.
Who are you
taking
out? Oh,
Rex Grossman doesn't make it, Peter.
I know. Now I'm looking through them. I have to see names to have an idea. Because there's so many choices. Like, Michael, I feel like he's... Well, no, this guy won. He said the rest are losers, right? So, no.
Rex Grossman, you can make the case. But he did have 1 year where he did throw 23 touchdown passes, over 3,000 yards.
I have no idea how good David Woodley was.
Well, you know what? Good enough to be number one.
Yes!
David Woodley played in Super Bowl 17, career completion percentage of 52.8. The most touchdown passes in a season, 14. Minus 15 touchdown interception rate, and his quarterback rating was 65.7 for his career. David Woodley, number one.
Good pull, Peter. Good pull.
How about
Washington victory?
How about Stan Humphries?
Stan Humphries, Michael, is number five. San Diego Chargers completed 56.9% of his passes. Highest touchdowns for a season, 18. Quarterback rating of 75.8. Did play in Super Bowl 29. I have him at five.
I like that. That's a good pull, Michael. In that same era, how about Chris Chandler?
I do not have Chris Chandler.
No, you're terrible.
Oh, you don't even know who Chris Chandler is.
That's why he should be on the list, right?
How about... No, he won't be there.
Jake Delhomme?
I was going to say Delhomme stunk, but he's not bad enough.
Well,
is he?
He's among the list of guys that I have. Delhomme... Yeah, his number, he had over 80 quarterback rating. He had a couple of decent seasons.
Would you dare put Jared Goff there?
No. Don't have Jared Goff, no. Good. It's a good pull.
Now, we'll go really early, okay?
Okay.
You're thinking Joe Capp.
Joe Capp was a really good quarterback, Michael. Joe Capp... One of the rare quarterbacks that actually played in a Super Bowl, in a Grey Cup, and a Rose Bowl. Joe Capp is not on the list.
Every quarterback on this list is really good. They played the pros, okay?
I'm trying to get inside your head. I don't have Joe Capp.
What eras are left on?
I will give you decade. Actually, you know what? What's left? There's only two left, both in the 70s.
Vince Ferragamo.
Vince Ferragamo's number two. Good pull. Vince Ferragamo. 55.9 completion percentage, minus 15 touchdowns and interceptions. Played only 53 games as a starter in the NFL. Quarterback rating of 70.1, but played in Super Bowl 14 in the loss to the Steelers. Vince Ferragamo is number two.
So you're saying the other ones are in the 70s?
That means it's Craig Morton?
Craig Morton, good pull, Peter.
Come on, he was in two Super Bowls. How bad could he be?
Well, 54.2% completion percentage. Oh. Quarterback rating is 73.5. Michael, he was a journeyman. He was mostly a backup in his career. Not very good. He threw like 100 interceptions in that game against the Cowboys.
Do you know, Don, that I looked him up this weekend?
Right.
The Giants made the trade for him. Gave up their number one pick, right, which ended up being the second pick in the draft, and the Dallas Cowboys took Randy White.
That's not good.
And he played, I think, 2 years for the Giants.
Yeah, not very productive player. Just looking at his career, yeah, he played, you know, in Dallas, you know, had a pretty decent winning percentage. But, yeah, but the couple of years with the Giants, not very good. 11 touchdowns and 9. So he had 20 touchdowns combined in the 2 years and 36 interceptions.
Grossman had 56 TDs and 60 interceptions, a 71.4 rating for his career.
Yeah.
How's he not in there?
Well, you can make the case.
I am making it right now.
Yeah. Who are you taking out? So you take? You want to take Craig Morton out?
Maybe.
Yeah, Rex was a tough one. You can make that case.
And he was only like half a quarterback that year, too. It was Kyle Orton and him split like the whole season.
That was a Super Bowl we were in Barbados, right, Michael?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Maybe that's
a lot of stuff went on there.
Well,
go ahead.
No, we can't even say.
No, Pete. Really, honestly,
we lost our license.
We cannot say. You've heard these stories before.
I've heard some.
Things went on there that, like, let's say, people shouldn't tell their wives what happened. Huh? And wives shouldn't tell their husbands either.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, there was a.
Yeah, it was a bacchanal.
Sex.
There was a unisex of offenses going on.
Wow.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
I've been around for this version.
Very good job, Don.
Thank you.
It's really Netflix and chill.
A lot of people on Twitter have said, well, you got to go to Fanatics. Fanatics doesn't deliver it before this weekend. We did go to Fanatics. We went there.
It's got to be because of the shipping issues. It's got to be, Michael. I can't imagine you wouldn't be able to walk into even like a anywhere. And be able to buy something for the Super Bowl. You're telling me it's only available in L.A.? That they couldn't, in the last week, be able to ship a T-shirt.
Don and I can speak to this, Peter. One day you will. The stuff you do for your children. I went to Walmart with Charlie yesterday.
Yeah.
Walmart. Figured they have everything, right? Guy looked at me like I had three heads. Then I went to Target. Nothing. It's like the Super Bowl's not happening. The only sign from the Super Bowl was over a display of Coca-Cola.
Well, I guess Peter's right. The knee-jerk reaction for people when that game and when those championship games ended on Sunday that wanted stuff probably just went right to NFLShop.com and purchased it. I think now between the convenience and the pandemic, I don't think people go shopping for that stuff anymore. And I'm sure a lot of the outlet stores are like, I'm not going to go and invest all this money if nobody's going to come and get it. And I don't think that it's not like it's the Cowboys or the Steelers or the Raiders. I don't think there are Bengal and Ram fans all over the place. So you don't have to worry from that standpoint. And anybody that really cared probably went to get it online, right, Peter?
Yeah, the people who are super fans. I mean, that's what, like, well, I haven't had a team. When the Penguins last won, like, the cup, yeah, you order that night. You order it from the website, and that's it, and you wait.
Yep, not that easy anymore.
That's why places like Modell's doesn't exist anymore, for that reason.
Well, you know what? I miss it every day.
No,
every day I miss it.
It's not right.
Get a nice pair of, you know, they were selling Carhartt stuff well before it became hip.
Modell?
You get a pair of Smith jeans. Remember that, Don? They knew what they were doing. Yeah, Smith jeans. Hmm. Not exactly Wrangler.
That's a good gene.
Wow.
Good solid gene. All right, let's take a brief time out.
Solid dungaree.
Yeah, good dungaree. Right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Last year, Tom Thibodeau was the toast of the town. To get them as a fourth seed was amazing. Now, he didn't want Cam Reddish. They did it. You can never convince me that he okayed getting Kemba Walker. And they got him anyway. And you cannot convince me that he wanted you to let Reggie Bullock go. So, do you think they're setting him up to be the fall guy here? Obviously, he's not the perfect coach. He doesn't want to play young guys. Here's the deal with Thibs. The Knicks are out of it right now. And even if they somehow squeak into the play-in, which I don't think they will, they'll get eliminated immediately. They're not a good team. Thibodeau has to stop this nonsense where he doesn't play kids. You got to play kids. You can't continue to throw out the veterans when this is not a team that's going anywhere.
I think the refusal to play the kids, that will be the end of his time here.
The Michael K. Show.
I don't think Julius Randle is the guy for New York.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. So the Giants are looking for defensive coordinator, and it's so funny, you hear people complaining that Patrick Graham left to become the defensive coordinator of the Las Vegas Raiders. And I would ask those people, let me get this right. The Giants just fired his close friend, Joe Judge. Then they interviewed him for the job, didn't hire him for it. Once they allowed him to interview for defensive coordinator jobs, of course he was going to leave. Why would he stay? Why would he stay? You fired Joe Judge, and you didn't hire him to replace him. Why would he stay? Why would the Giants have ever given him the opportunity to talk to another team?
Yeah, but it was just weird because during the press conference when they introduced Joe Shane, it seemed like unless he gets a job as a head coach, this is our defensive coordinator.
Right, he didn't like that from what I've heard, that they would be so presumptuous. Well, maybe I'll – because I forget which team, but when Joe Judge was fired and there wasn't a head coach yet, they gave him permission to talk to another team about the defensive coordinator position. He turned that down. But once you give permission, then you have to give permission for every lateral move to that same person.
Right.
So then when Josh McDaniels got the job in Vegas, of course he was going to leave. Now you're left scrambling to get a defensive coordinator.
I don't know why they weren't all on the same page. Why would you say he's our guy unless he gets a head coaching job if you knew you were going to allow him to interview for other defensive coordinator positions?
Did you
want him?
Yeah, you wonder, and if you didn't want him, okay, then you should have just fired him. Now, I know you signed him to a big contract because he didn't interview for any of the head coaching jobs last year, so you know, because he didn't interview, they gave him big money for a defensive coordinator, and I'm sure that the Raiders were able to match that or even pass it by.
I don't blame Graham for leaving. I'm just wondering whether the Giants were kind of sideswiped by this. Like, it just seemed like in the press conference he was the guy unless he got a head coaching job, so sounded like they wanted him to come back.
It was very clunky, though. Again, if you liked him that much and you had given him money to stay and not interview for head coaching jobs, then I would not have let him interview for a defensive coordinator position, only for a head coaching job, because even if a new coach came in and decided he wanted to have a different DC, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he still got paid. He still got a lot of money owed to him, so it's not like he would have been left out in the cold, unable to pay his rent. Why would the Giants have to be so magnanimous to let him interview for a lateral job? If it's a guy they really wanted, never let him interview for a lateral job. So I think that was mishandled by the Giants. I really do.
Hmm.
Players, I don't think that I could coach or manage in 2022 because Kyler Murray of the Cardinals, the latest player to act like a child, has unfollowed the Cardinals on Instagram. Why?
Huh?
Is he going to go play for the Oakland A's? I mean, why? Why? Does he not like Cliff Kingsbury, who was hired specifically for him? Why?
That is interesting.
What could he be ticked off with them about, well, Peter? What?
Is it possible that that's his way of like just getting off of social media?
Yeah, don't turn your phone on. Don't unfollow your team. It's a little strange.
It's an odd choice.
Again, I'm not an Instagram guy. I'm on Instagram, but I don't bother with it. But is it because he's following it, does he get maybe a lot of negative feedback through that?
Nope.
Mm-mm. So
following them does nothing except it's just a thing you do.
But what do you expect to accomplish other than
this?
Walking into the offices and saying, I'm unhappy. Like, it just seems, I know I sound like get off my lawn guy, but it's so passive aggressive to me. Like,
and he also, guys, he deleted all Cardinal related photos.
Like, flush it.
Really?
Yep.
The day after the Pro Bowl?
Yeah.
Is that right?
And he didn't play that great in the Pro Bowl either.
I mean, was it even really play? Was it even a game?
I just don't know what is accomplished here other than you looking like a baby. If you got a problem with your organization, go take a meeting and voice your displeasure. Or if you want to like have a sit down with some of the local reporters or something and air it out that way, if you don't feel like communicating with them directly is getting what you want. But to unfollow just sounds so like 12-year-old to me.
Yeah, if you're unhappy with your team, why don't you just go to them and say, I don't like what's going on. Instead, you have to like do a major flex like this?
Let me propose something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe all of us, me included, are just a little too young too old. Sorry. But what if we're maybe all just a little too old to understand why this could be a measure that like does something? Because to me, I feel the same way. It seems silly and childish, but
I'll tell you what it does, Peter.
Maybe we're missing it.
It calls attention to it. Like you're upset with the Cardinals, and you want everybody to know you're upset with the Cardinals because you know that it's going to get a lot of attention. Now, making a phone call or having your agent make a call, none of that's public. And I guess this era of instead of calling a press conference or planting a story in one of the newspapers, I guess the modern day thing to do is just unfollow them on social media and it'll get the same play. It's getting treated the same way. Right? We're 2,000 miles away and we're hearing about it.
Now, earlier in the show, I mentioned that I thought it was low class for the North Carolina fans to boo Mike Krzyzewski, and Don and Peter
love it.
Came up and in at me. They loved it. They weren't phony, things like that. And I said, well, it's a matter of class. It's the last time he's ever going to step foot in that place.
Good.
And he is kind of a transformational figure in college basketball, maybe the best coach of all time.
Perhaps.
And then I started to think, because when Don and Peter come at me, I don't take it lightly.
Never.
Because I want to come back at them.
Usually he thinks we're ganging up on him and he threatens to leave the show. But continue.
Right. Well, I like this side, though.
So, Derek Jeter in his last game standing ovation at Fenway Park.
I was there.
You remember that?
Yep.
Now, I'm sure they hate Derek Jeter in Boston. Mariano Rivera got a standing ovation in Boston the last time he ever played there. Joe Torre, when he came back from prostate cancer surgery, got a huge standing ovation. It's called doing the right thing, man.
It's just there's a difference between the pros and college to me. You're right. I expected of the pros. I knew the Red Sox fans would do that, and Yankee fans would do the exact opposite in return. Didn't they show love to Poppy in his last
Yes. movie? Yeah. Not as much as the Red Sox show because
Poppy they treated Jeter like that. That whole tour was insane. But, I mean, they brought out, like, everyone on earth for him. But I don't know. I just think of college as different.
I'm not talking about the players. I'm talking about the fans.
The fans have a visceral hatred, and they're immature.
Red Sox fans have a visceral hatred for the Yankees.
But you have to then question their hatred for Derek Jeter if they're able to cheer him and put that aside.
Well, did they cheer Michael Jordan at the Garden?
They did. I thought it was awful. I would think a diehard fan, that was very difficult to swallow. This guy made a living beating your team. You can say he's the single reason why they don't have a ring since 73. And you're cheering him, you know, going to the foul line as a member of the Wizards.
I think that's wrong. But the first time he's introduced in the last game, you give an ovation, and then boom, the rest of the game.
You're right. It's the classy thing to do, and it's the right thing to do. But the thing you just said to me is fraudulent. Like, if you want to cheer him, then cheer him the entire game. But no, you're going to go back to booing him again. That's fraudulent to me. What are you doing? So you put everything aside to give him cheer, show him respect, and then just go back to booing him?
Right.
Well, what's going on here? So either show him respect or don't show him respect. And I think that there is something kind of cool about, you know what? I can't put it away. I can't file it away. I hate this guy. I'm going to continue to hate him.
And it's still small.
It's still classless, but it's not fraudulent.
And isn't there something to be said for maybe Coach K appreciating it? Like, don't feel sorry for me. Don't give me your little sympathy. I'm old and leaving now. Hate me till the bitter end.
Right.
And what did he do? He whipped their tail from pillar to post all night long. So there's a reason they still hate him. They probably knew what was going to happen.
I don't think they thought that was going to happen.
That was bad.
And the swearing and stuff. I get it, Michael. That's not what
also,
you do.
Again, you know how I feel about old, right? He's 75 years old.
I know how you feel about old.
75 years old, you're saying F you to a 75-year-old legend?
Hey, listen, if you're in the game, you're in the game.
Yeah, you're in the game,
you guys are
old,
heartless.
Stupid man, get lost.
That's
again,
how I
Michael,
felt.
You're right about everything you're saying. I mean, you're not wrong. I don't think Peter and I are arguing that you're wrong. I'm just saying that there's a special appreciation you have for the fans who just can't turn it off.
It's the same way I felt about Zimmer. And Pedro, listen, he wanted to jump in there. And you know, what's supposed to do? Feel sorry for him and treat him like he's a feeble old man? No, Pedro tossed him on the ground. He's out there fighting.
Coach K's really out of your mind.
Coach K's still playing. He still wants to go to the Dean Dome. So you got to deal with the fans, right, Don?
Yeah, there is something to that, Michael, right? All right, yeah, he's 75 years old, but he's still in the game. He's still coaching. So what, there's a certain age now where all of a sudden I've got to treat you differently even though you're in the game?
No.
Like if he's retired and he decides to go to a game after he's, you know, 10 years retired at 85, goes to North Carolina, gets ripped.
Right.
Yeah, that's just stupid and disrespectful and all that. But
I like Hubert Davis a lot. I liked him from his time with the Knicks. That's for him to turn around, take the microphone and say, show some class. That's what Dean Smith would have done. That's what Roy Williams would have done. It should have been shut down immediately. It made the North Carolina, and I love North Carolina. I love it. I've been there. I love the campus. I love everything about it. Love the history of the program. That was classless. Classless.
You're not wrong.
Points to me.
You're not wrong. But all I think Peter and I are just saying that there is a certain level of respect where I have where the guy that's hated him his whole life just can't stop and doesn't want to give that bogus, fugazi golf clap for 2 minutes because it's his last game coaching there.
Well, Steve Brzezinski listens to every second of the show, said Ranger fans hate Brodeur but gave him a standing O his last game.
Right. But yeah, that's the norm. Right? Bobby Cox got a gift from the Mets the last time he managed a game at Citi Field. It's like, that's the classy, that's the way you're supposed to do it. But I just think there's something kind of cool about somebody who's like, no, I can't shut it off. I've hated this guy for 30 years. I can't turn it off. I'm sorry. Again, I'm not going to say it's okay to swear or whatever, but I'm not going to play the fraudulent game of now I'm going to stand up like everybody else and give him a cheer for the greatness of him and then go back to booing him 3 minutes. No, I'm not playing their silly game.
If my children, right, both went to UNC and they showed him on ESPN, mouthing those words, I would I would stop the check on the tuition and say both of you get your backsides home. You've embarrassed the K name.
I respect that.
Or what if they didn't cheer? They just sat on their hands and
that'd
just
be fine. That'd be fine.
Right. Yeah, no, fine. I don't want Marco and Jalen to be those guys that swear and act like jerks or whatever. But if you boot them for 30 years, you want to keep booing them? I can understand that. I get it. Because if you're the guy, like what did Derek Jeter always say? That when he got booed on the road, it was like cheers at home, right? That he knew he was doing something right.
Right.
So he goes to Fenway Park and he looks at those fans and they're all booing him. In the back of Derek's mind is like, what frauds? You guys destroyed me for 20 years, me coming here. You hated my guts, and now because I'm retiring, I'm supposed to wave my cap. And he did it because he's a class act. But you don't think in the back of his mind, he's thinking, these frauds, the things that you said to me, the way you ripped me for almost 20 years. Now, all of a sudden, I'm walking out of it because everybody else gave me a standing ovation.
But
you
know
are,
what,
too.
But you know what I approximated to? A Stanley Cup playoff series. They're killing each other. At the end, they shake hands because it's the classy thing to do.
Right. And
so
there
the
was...
cheer is like a classy thing to do. Thank you. We've hated you.
Yeah.
It's been an unbelievable run for you. We hate how you beat us, but we're going to cheer you for the effort. And then after that, we hate your guts.
But isn't there something kind of cool about Billy Smith and Eddie Belfour that wouldn't do it? And just said, I can't be a
but
fraud
they,
like that.
They
I can't
say,
shake the hand of these guys. I've been trying to kill them for 7 games, despise the sight of them, chopping at them anytime they came near my crease, and now I got to put on some show for the fans after I just lost and shake his hand? No. So there was always a part of me that kind of thought that was cool too.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Mike. No. Yeah. Michael and Comac. Michael.
Hello.
Michael. Hello.
How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Very good. Mike, Don, and Peter, thank you for taking my call. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you, sir. Number one, I got a little offended. First of all, Coach K, as we all know, played for the Academy. Okay? West Point. I'm a military veteran myself. Okay? I think that anyone who curses out Coach K, how many years did he take our Olympic team to the championship? 3 or 4? I'm not exactly
3 Olympic gold medals.
Exactly. How do you curse a gentleman like this out? I mean, yeah, basketball, college, whatever, but this guy is America.
Well, no, Michael, that's a little strong.
You shouldn't swear in public, period, okay? I don't think anybody deserves to get swore at like that. I'm with Michael. But just because
America?
He went to just because he coached at Army and took our Olympic team to a gold medal doesn't mean that he's America.
That's
Come
when
on.
Men were men.
Let's go to Sweet Chuck in Rumson. What's up?
Hey, guys. What's going on? Hey, how are you?
Chuck.
You know, that guy just took my point. It's like, you know, Coach K. Yeah, he won Olympic gold medals. How many players played for North Carolina that were actually on those Olympic teams? I'm sure quite a few. And also, it's just like respect. I mean, the guy's, he's a legend.
No,
you know?
Like Bobby Knight. Should
guys,
Bobby Knight
know,
not be booed? Bobby
gotta,
Knight went to coached
I mean,
at Army.
I mean,
Bobby Knight
sure,
won an Olympic gold medal.
Yeah, but I'm also not a college student, so I respect sports. So that's
right.
My
but that's
thing.
But guys, I'm saying Bobby Knight checked the same boxes as Krzyzewski. Does he have to be treated with the same reverence?
Yeah, Bobby Knight threw chairs around. He threw chairs around. You know.
But one thing, sweet Chuck, I would say that Bobby Knight, you know, end of his career was a little bit, you know, weird.
I mean,
he bounced, you know, Texas Tech and whatever. But let's say he went to Texas and we knew that he was going to retire. He would get cheered for all the games he won and stuff like that, even if you don't like Bobby Knight. Again, I'm sure there are a lot of people that don't like Coach K. I'm sure when I read Ian's book, it's going to be.
I got to tell you guys, there's something, and I know this isn't particularly helpful, but it needs to be said. There's a certain level of you just don't get it. Like playing in that conference. Yeah. Against him year after year, it's really the way that they, even though on the outside you go, I love the way they play the game. They play so hard. They play defense for 40 minutes. There's all these things to love. When you go up against Duke twice a year, every year, I cannot explain to you the level of hatred it creates when you're a college student.
Oh, I get it. And you should boo him every single game. But now he's walking away.
I know. And so, listen, if it was me personally, and this was, and Maryland was still in the ACC, and I was a part of this last game,
you would have written a vile rap song about him. I know.
I would at the end probably give him, you know, some sort of clap. I probably would. It's the kind of sports fan I am. Mm-hmm. But I can't knock anyone who didn't do it just because the hatred's so strong.
This guy is America.
And I'm the same as you, Peter. I wouldn't have done what they did in North Carolina. But I'm just saying, just as a fan, I can understand, and I think there's some level of that at least he's not a fraud, that they're being consistent about it. Again, I'm not condoning the swearing, but not being able to turn it off if you spent your whole life. And it's nothing to do with Coach K, the man. If you root for North Carolina, you went to North Carolina, you bleed that blue, then whoever's coaching Duke, you're going to feel that way about, especially if he's had that kind of success.
I mean, listen, guys, this is a real story from ESPN. Tuesday, January 30th, 2001. College Park, Maryland. University of Maryland officials apologized to a Duke player's mother who suffered a concussion after being hit by bottles allegedly thrown by a Terps fan. Renee Boozer, mother of Duke center Carlos Boozer, was hit in the head with glass and plastic bottles following Duke's 98-96 overtime win Saturday.
She was probably hit by a boozer.
Well said. I can't in good faith give North Carolina a hard time when this is the school I proudly graduated from. So it gets rough in college. It's a little crazy out there.
You guys are unbelievable. You both said you wouldn't do it, but you're defending these clowns that did it, these little miscreants who probably have never even made out with someone from the opposite sex or the same sex, and they're dropping F-bombs on a legend.
Well, no, I told you I can't condone the swearing.
Well, stop with the swearing. Boozer's mom got hit with a bottle. Yeah. It's a curse word. I mean, come on. This is a real quote from the Maryland Athletic Department. When visitors cannot come to our athletic events without fear of assault or actually experiencing assault, something is very wrong. That's an actual quote.
All right, let's take a brief time out because we have the actual Hall of Famer, Mike Krzyzewski, on next. No, it's Steve Young. Steve Young's
this
America.
Guy is America.
He's America. Steve Young is America. So let's sit
down. What a show. We're off.
Towel off, and we'll talk to the great Steve Young in just a moment as he previews Super Bowl 56 next on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, so guys, I hate to do this, but I'm going to have to call in the Carmy.
For what?
Yeah, well, Anthony Pusick, our brilliant, I guess he's a producer just as
I'm
much
sure
as a board op. Sure.
Sure.
Major League Network Radio on Sirius XM is making the greatest home run calls in baseball history.
Okay.
Anthony just tweeted it out. So I need the Carmy to – I'm in the Buck region, and my call is the number three seeded call, the Mr. November call. Up against number six, Gary Thorne's Hang On to the Roof, the Don Mattingly call in 95. So I need the Carmy to step up and help me win this thing so I could defeat the greatest voices of all time, although I deserve not even to be in the same breath as them.
Whose Twitter is this again?
MLB Network Radio at SiriusXM, on SiriusXM.
Okay.
So I'll need your vote too, Peter. Would you do that for brother?
Let me take a look at it. MLB Network Radio. Okay. Oh, there's the bracket. Sure.
See, that's the beauty of Don. Don's going to ask, well, let me take a look, see if I like, even if the other call was like from the voice of God, Don would vote for me.
Which region are you in?
The Buck region.
Excuse me?
Unbelievable.
That's a tough matchup for you right
You've never even heard the other call.
I love it. I know Thorne, though.
You know me. You know Kay.
I do.
The Carmy has gotten us some big love in these kind of events.
Yeah, no, you do like to cheat the system.
Well, I got to take advantage of everything, right?
I mean, do you really think that, you know, Dick Stockton is out here trying to convince people to vote for him?
You know what? Because he doesn't have a top-ranked afternoon drive radio show in New York, so I might as well take advantage of my advantage. I'm not a great broadcaster. You would say I'm a hack. So since I have, I'm even in there, might as well take advantage and have my people vote for me.
Okay. I support.
It's going to be tough to advance past the first round, though, Michael.
Why? Why do you say that?
I think you got this covered. I think you'll beat Thorne.
Okay.
But then you're going to take on the winner of the 2-7 matchup, which is Dave Newhouse's call for the 95, the Edgar Martinez play, which is a great call when Griffey scored from first base. But Vin calling Hank Aaron's home run, that's going to win. So that's what you're going to go up against.
Well, I'd hate to game the system against Vin, but I would. Edgar Martinez, it has to be the home run that he hit off of John Wetland because this is a home run call.
Oh, okay. So it's got no shot then.
Why?
It's going to go up against Henry Aaron's home run.
Aaron's going to win over Dave, right?
Right.
And then it's going to be the two Fordham guys going up against each other, and Vin doesn't have a radio show to lean on his car.
I know, but I'm not sure you'd be able to vote for yourself going up against Vin.
Oh, you don't know me. I would be able to.
Nice.
Come on, do it for me.
I'm going to do it. I'll vote the whole way.
See, he's the best.
Yeah!
But Peter, I don't know if you got Peter.
No, I don't have Peter.
I know exactly what I have with Peter. You know, it's a one-way relationship. Like he told somebody, Michael would be there whenever I need for whatever I need. I don't feel the same about him. He wouldn't be here if I needed him.
That's really horrible that you would say that.
It's true, though, right?
As I'm scrolling through this page trying to find your thing to vote on.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it myself.
Not easy, brother.
Oh,
it's not up yet. Yeah. It's not up yet.
No, it's up.
The bracket is up.
The bracket's up.
And two of the calls were voted on in the region. Yours is not up yet, Michael. We'll keep the Carmi updated to make sure they're all squared away.
All right, good. All right, we have Ryan Clark coming out at 5:30, and that's Peter's favorite guest.
He's up there. I would say I haven't declared him number one.
But you love him personally. You love him.
Oh, he's a great guy, RC.
He's a great guy. All right, so let's take a brief time out. Towel off. Got a lot to do. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kayla Greco Rosenberg and you and the Carmi too, right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael K. Show.
Steve Young, who do you like in the game Sunday?
I like the Rams. They've gotten better over the last 3 weeks significantly. You got to remember, Matthew Stafford knew OBJ shows up middle. So does Von Miller. The whole team has to figure it out. Like Tampa Bay a year ago with Tom, around Thanksgiving, you would have said, I don't know about the Bucs. It's a year ago when they won the Super Bowl. And then the last month or two, all that veteranship, all that stuff started to come together, and then they went on and won the championship. I think very similar to the Rams. The question marks for the Rams at this moment is just a wild throw every once in a while at Matthew Stafford, if he can eliminate that. But you think Cooper Kupp's going to fumble the game away like he did in Tampa Bay? No. But you, Cam Akers will fumble the ball away? No. The Rams are the best team in football right now. They got to go prove it on Sunday.
The Michael K. Show.
Hey, go Commodores.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Super Bowl is on Don's birthday. That's the way the NFL planned it. It's this Sunday, February 13th.
Yeah!
And we know how our show prognostication segment is gone. It comes down to this. Peter has the Bengals, and Don has the Rams. And I got to tell you, even before Steve said that, I can't see the Rams losing this game. And the reason is, I don't know how they could keep that rush away from Joe Burrow. I mean, already in this postseason, he's been sacked 9 times by the Titans. Why is he not going to be hit and really thrown off his game against the Rams? The Rams' defense is suffocating. And you still have Jalen Ramsey, so they can decide. What do you do with Jalen Ramsey? Do you put him on Jamar Chase, or do you put two guys on Jamar Chase and then put Jalen Ramsey on Higgins? So it gives McVay a little maneuverability there. The more I look into it, and Don, I agree with you, I just think the Rams are going to win this game, and I think they're going to cover, too. I don't, at this point, I'm not seeing a real close game.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you can't discount what Cincinnati did in the second half of that championship game. They were about to get their doors completely blown off, and they found a way to win the game. But I keep hearkening back to that second half, the interception Burrow threw, which in normal circumstances against a normal Kansas City team probably cost them the game. So we talk about the ice water in his veins, how amazing it is that this young kid's been able to navigate his team to the Super Bowl. Michael, in normal circumstances, that cost them the game. What was going on with Kansas City? Steve said it was hubris, that they just maybe they just were just believed the game was over. Whatever it was, you know, bad job out of them and great job by the Cincinnati defense, and I'm sure they made the necessary adjustments. But, Michael, this was a machine for six quarters that could not be stopped by Buffalo, whose defense is way better than Cincinnati's, and by Cincinnati itself in the first half. Now you're going up against a team that has got a ton of experience. Let's not forget, this team went to the Super Bowl not too long ago, all right? And they've got the quarterback that's supposed to take them here. Now, he had his issues as well, but I think he's overcome them, and I think he's passed enough tests. But the deals that they made at the deadline for Von Miller and going out and get Odell Beckham Jr. accentuated two units that were very good to begin with. It's, listen, anything's possible. Cincinnati shocked the world so far, but I'm with you. I think this is the Rams' season. I think they're the better team. The only team that beat them is themselves, and I think they overcame that.
I agree. This is a perfect setup for the Rams. I don't know if they'll ever get a better look at this than this. Even if they come back, will they have Cincinnati to play against, or will they have Kansas City? You know, or will they have a
or Buffalo?
Or will they have Buffalo? This is as good a shot as they could possibly get. But man, I will tell you. You know, Don, I'm not quite on your level, but I've been watching football for almost 40 years. Almost 40. And the Super Bowl is a weird, weird game. It's not – you guys would both agree. It's not like any other game. It never plays out like any other game. Like, up through the championship games, you kind of know who teams are, and they play to some version of that in the playoff games. Then you get to the Super Bowl, and it's an entirely different thing altogether. It's going to be interesting to see how Stafford reacts to that situation. You know, a guy who a month ago – the narrative a month ago on Matt Stafford still was, he never beats good teams. He can only beat the bad teams. He almost handed it away a couple of weeks ago, let's be clear. Put the ball on the ground at the end of the game, almost gave it away to Tampa a couple of weeks ago. Now all of a sudden it feels like they're unbeatable. Let's wait and see, because I will say the one thing that the reason I was comfortable betting Cincinnati was that for whatever reason, when the chips are down, Joe Burrow doesn't seem like he goes away. That you better get up big on them, or I will constantly think Cincinnati has a chance to come back and win that game.
Now, I've got to tell you this, too. I have not even revealed this until this point. I have to root for the Bengals, though.
Hmm.
Because I found out this weekend that their defensive coordinator, Lou Anarumo, right?
Yep.
Is related to me.
What?
Okay.
Like, my Uncle Danny's and my mom's great-grandmother, her sister, is Anarumo's great-grandmother.
Hmm.
So we're some distant relative. I've got to root for the cuz, right? So I got to be on Team Peter on Sunday.
No, listen, I'd like to be on Team Peter.
Why?
I think Cincinnati would be a phenomenal story. And, you know, he's from Staten Island, Michael, and he was
That's
on
right.
the Giants staff.
Interviewed for the Giant head coaching job.
Interviewed for the Giants head coaching job. Grew up a Giant fan. And did a great job at Wagner. The entire community is going to be in Los Angeles rooting for him. It was a great story. I watched it last night on Fox 5. They had a whole special on him. So there's a lot of reasons to root for Cincinnati. I got no love for the Rams. I mean, they're just – why would I be happy for a Rams fan? I don't even think they even
What
know
is
they
a Rams fan?
Team. You know, so Cincinnati, listen, they've been through so much. But because of the picks, I'll be rooting for L.A., but – I mean, much like the championship game, guys, once it became clear there was no way that Kansas City was covering, I was rooting for Cincinnati. It's a great story.
And by the way,
this kid's legit. I think he's going to be around, Peter, for a long time. The next generation of quarterbacks are really good, and he might lead the pack. Just not sure it's going to happen this Sunday.
I can't stop thinking about that. I wonder if Giants and Jets fans relate in that regard. I keep thinking about that, too, this generation of quarterbacks, and just thinking about my team and going, when will we get one? Like, you know, there's how many teams would you say in the league, guys, have a quarterback that you just go, man, we got one. What, 10? Maybe? That you feel
maybe 10, really good.
Yeah.
10 that you feel like great. Like, we are going to be in it every year. Because, and then there's another tier of 5 or 6 that I would be totally happy with that are good enough. And then the second half of the league are teams like Washington, the Giants, and the Jets, where it's just a perpetual machine of looking for it. Mm. And you see, you know, Cincinnati, their roster is better than mediocre teams, for sure. They have a solid roster. But guys, what would we be saying about the Cincinnati Bengals if they didn't have Joe Burrow? Where would they have been this year?
They would not be in the playoffs.
They would not be in the playoffs. They'd probably be a 6-11 team, 7-10 team. But they have Joe Burrow, and now they were able to string together 3 playoff games and play for a Super Bowl. It's unreal.
And it's interesting with the Giants because it's hard to feel bad. I mean, the Giants are only 10 years removed from a Super Bowl and had a couple of great quarterbacks in our lifetime in Sims and Eli. And then for the Jets probably feel better about their quarterback than the Giants do right now. Not that Wilson had a great rookie year, but I think he saw enough to believe that maybe he could be part of that next generation if given the opportunity next year with some weapons and good coaching. You don't know, but at least you could. I think a Jet fan could feel better about Wilson than Giant fans could feel about Jones. Is that fair?
I would think so, yes.
Yes, yes. For sure, you can. It's more reasonable.
But can you see Wilson playing at the level of a Herbert, of a Burrow,
honestly,
of an Allen?
I can't. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm not seeing things. I can't see it.
It's hard, Don. We've said this a million times, but it's just not that often where you don't see it almost right away. Burrow, before he got injured his rookie year against Washington, he was showing it already. It's so rare that it comes on later. It happens. But they generally show it pretty quick.
True. But I don't think you have to show it right away. Allen did not show it right away. And then they went out and got him a great receiver in Diggs, and it started to come together. I mean, that's why I make the comparison. Everybody misunderstands this, Michael, right? Even Mike Tannenbaum, when he was asked about it in the morning show a couple of weeks ago, I'm not saying that Zach Wilson's going to become Josh Allen. They're two different, completely different quarterbacks. I'm just saying, at the end of Allen's rookie year, I don't think anybody felt like this guy was about to pop. The Buffalo Bills did, and they got him weapons. I'm not sure how much Wilson could have showed you in his first year anyway. Now, granted, other quarterbacks played well with the same weapons in the same system, but they weren't rookies necessarily outside of White, and White's chariot turned into a pumpkin right away when he took on a good defense like Buffalo. Given a full 17-game season, if they draft correctly, if they use the money free agency get them weapons, I expect a big jump. And if we don't see that big jump, then I'll be on board with you guys. That, you know what, it's not going to happen. But I want to see this kid in a second year with some weapons, with a really good offensive line, and I think we're going to have to see something we didn't see from Sam. I'm going to need a big jump from year one to year two, and then we can start talking.
And you're right, Don. I mean, I was trying to remember Allen's rookie year, but his rookie year, he played 11. He started 11 games. He was 5-6, and he had 10 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. And then the next year, when they made the playoffs, right, he was 20-9. And then the last 2 years, he's been fully insane. You know, a 35 touchdown guy. So you're right. It can happen. Lamar Jackson took time for people to figure out what he could be. You know, it does happen.
Now the difference with Jones guys is we have a little bit more of a sample size to say.
It's pretty, if we're being fair, it's pretty substantial, Don.
Right, he's had weapons, right? He hasn't had great coaching, obviously, because of the changeover over the last, time that he's been here. But in the 3 years he's been here, he's had weapons. He showed some flashes, but I think he's given you enough to get a fourth kick at the can, but I can understand people not having any confidence that there's nothing there.
Now, we've spoken about moves the Giants could make when it comes to quarterbacks. And one of the names that's always thrown around is Russell Wilson. And Mike Tannenbaum has come on and said that he would give up, I think 3 first-round draft picks, he said.
Mm-hmm.
At least the 2 this year. Maybe he said the 3 for Peyton, Sean Payton, but I'm sure it was 2 to get Wilson at least. Well, Ryan Clark, who we're going to have on in about 15 minutes, he did not agree with that at all. Here's Ryan Clark on Get Up about Russell Wilson.
We have to stop including Russell Wilson in these talks that if Russell Wilson goes here, does this team win a Super Bowl? If Russell Wilson goes here, does this team win a Super Bowl? This isn't basketball. And frankly, Russell Wilson actually isn't that great. He isn't that much of a factor that changes who football teams are. And so now it's thinking to ourselves, is he an upgrade over the quarterback we have? And can he make us a better team? And that's not every team in the NFL.
Interesting, right? I mean, that's an outlier opinion for sure. Mm. And now there's another name thrown into the mix, and that's Kyler Murray, who has unfollowed his team on Instagram and also taken away all Cardinal-related pictures.
Maybe even bigger than the fun follow.
Right. So you wonder, is he in the mix? Because I guess he's up for a fifth-year option to be picked up, and they have to do it shortly, and maybe he's gotten word that they're not going to do it. I mean, his performance in the last game was dreadful. I mean, he was terrible. He looked absolutely overmatched. So maybe they told him they're not doing it, and this is how he reacted.
That's interesting because that I'll tell you what, that game we talked about it the day after, that was bad enough to have pause.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I understand it wasn't all his fault. It wasn't. He had no time. It was ridiculous. But the level to which he looked completely overwhelmed by the moment, bad line or not, I get that. By the way, it'll be interesting to talk to Ryan about this because, Don, this is tough for me. And I know you like Wilson. It's so hard for me to hear this argument about Russell Wilson. And I don't know a tenth as much about football as Ryan Clark. But over the last 5 years, 34 touchdowns, 11 picks, 35-7, 31-6, 40-13. And this year, when they stunk, 25-6. It's so hard for me to understand how this is a guy who doesn't make a team immediately better.
Well, that's why we need to talk to Ryan about it. Is he Aaron Rodgers? Is he Tom Brady? Is he Peyton Manning in his prime? Probably not. He might be on that tier below, but don't tell me you can't win with the guy. They won with him.
They now, almost won two if it wasn't for a dumb call. He
right.
Gone two Super Bowls and won them both.
But Peter's right. This is a guy that's got a career quarterback rating over 100. You know, he's thrown a ton of touchdown passes. Even what was looked upon as just a miserable year for him and the Seahawks, he still went out there and threw a ton of TDs. And, listen, do I think he's on the back nine? Absolutely. But I look at the Giants situation. Tell me he's not better than whatever Daniel Jones could be. Daniel Jones, I think, in the best-case scenario, can become maybe Russell Wilson light. And if I got a chance with my salary cap situation the way that it is, with guys I currently have under contract, tell me they don't have a better chance to win over the next 2-3 years with Russell Wilson than with Daniel Jones.
Let's go to Paul in Okinawa. Paul.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Oh, okay. Listen, waiting for the madness to end. Hopefully I can fly back to New York. It's been 3 years waiting, but we'll
see. Wow.
Oh, wow.
Hang in there, buddy.
Thank you, brother. Anyway, I called because I have an important question for Don. If he was the acting GM for the Giants and a draft is coming up, would he stick with Danny Jones for 1 year or would you take a risk and draft a quarterback?
No, I would not draft a quarterback because it doesn't look like there's any quarterbacks that I could feel good about. Now, maybe they do, but I would not draft a quarterback. If I can't go out and get a quarterback like a Wilson, then I am going to stick with Daniel Jones for the 1 year and decide what I'm going to do. I wouldn't give him the fifth-year option. I'd stick with him. But if I got a chance to get Russell Wilson, guys, I think I'm going to go after it. But I'm not drafting a quarterback.
Let's go to Ira in Staten Island. Ira.
Hey, Michael, Don, Peter, how are you?
What's up?
To talk about the Super Bowl, but no, I want to get to the Super Bowl, but you just mentioned the quarterbacks. Peter, you're right. For most of these guys, you see it right away. But I also see Don's point, and you just got to hope as a Jets fan that Wilson does take the next step this coming year. If not, then, you know, it's going to be stuck in the mud just as usual, but I'm optimistic. But getting to the game, listen, you know, I always felt defense wins. You know what the defensive front is for the Rams. You know, Burrow has gotten beat up. I don't trust either head coach in a big spot, in a big decision. But you know what? I'm riding the Cincinnati Bengal mojo. I think Burrow is that good. I think Ja'Marr Chase is that good. I think Mixon is a very good running back. And their defense is playing better. And I think they're going to win a 27-23 type of game. I think Burrow, it's one of these stories this year. And sometimes things happen. And I think they're going to go out there and I think they're going to beat the Rams.
Well, the better story, Ira, the better story is obviously if the Bengals win. Because you look at the entire Bengals offense, and most of them were drafted. by the Bengals. Now, they have a lot of free agents on their defensive side, but you could look at the Rams. The Rams are the team that most fans don't like because it's a super team that's put together with the best parts from other teams. Now, they did draft Aaron Donald, but Jalen Ramsey, they emptied the tank. Von Miller, then they waited for Odell Beckham Jr. to be released by the Browns. So a lot of the pieces that they have, and they traded for Matthew Stafford with the guy that they drafted, Jared Goff. So it's not like a team that fans usually root for. It's not like one of those homegrown built teams. And on the offensive side, which is the most visible side, certainly Cincinnati is that team. Defensively, not so much. So I just think we look at Cincinnati as the little engine that could. We always root for the little engine that could. The Rams look like the team that's supposed to win.
But yeah, that's true. But there is something rootable, at least for me, for Matthew Stafford. You know, he finally gets out of Detroit. And then he goes to L.A., and he's finally been given some weapons and good coaching, and he's got a chance to finally win that Super Bowl. He's a great – look at his stats, guys. He's a great quarterback at Detroit, but nobody paid attention to him. They didn't play any big games. And now in his first year with an opportunity to really do something on a legit team, he's got them in the Super Bowl. Now, right, they're a super team. There's a lot of guys they went out and got, and they sold their soul to bring in some of those players and give up draft capital even to bring in Stafford. But it would be a great story, almost a Ray Bourque kind of story where, you know, no shot in Detroit, now finally given his shot to put himself in the conversation among the great quarterbacks. He would have never gotten that opportunity in Detroit, never.
Andrew Siciliano just tweeted out that Matthew Stafford in the press availability in L.A. right now was just asked who would play him in a movie. He said Leonardo DiCaprio.
It's a good choice. Leonard, wow. Some people call him.
Leonard DiCaprio?
Yes.
Is that right?
I've never heard Leonard or Len. Well, Len DiCaprio.
Give a listen to Chris Russo last week, and you'll get plenty.
Really?
Yeah, apparently he kind of just ripped all of the famous pretty people that were at the Rams championship game, and one of those pretty people was Leonard DiCaprio.
Well, you don't like him, you call him Leonard. And if you really don't like him, you call
You're
him
waiting!
Leonard.
Yeah, Lenny.
Or Lenny. All right, so we'll come back with Ryan Clark. Stick around for that right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.